Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, you may have already been in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but I tricked you this morning, not in a malicious way, but I wanted to pause and preach a message that the Lord has laid on my heart, and we'll be back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke here in the next week or two. This morning, I'm burdened to challenge you with the thought that you need to guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, in verses 20 to 27, Solomon's going to give us what we could call a human anatomy and physiology lesson. Now, I started as a pre-med major. Some of you didn't know that. Many of you knew that. But I started as a pre-med major, not because I particularly had a desire to be a doctor, but I believed that God wanted me to be a medical missionary. I was interested in missions, and in high school I had been praying about, well, what kind of missionary? Standard missionary, missionary aviation. I had a friend whose dad was a missionary aviation teacher at the school, so that perked my interest a little bit. Medical doctor, and so that seemed to be where God was leading. And so I started as a pre-med major, and thankfully, for my sake and for the sake of those that I may have operated on in the future, that was not in God's plans for me. I had general biology 1, general biology 2, but I never got into the upper level, the advanced courses of pre-med, because I switched my major my sophomore year. But if I had continued on in the pre-med program, then I would have encountered a course that was supposed to be one of the bears of the program, human anatomy and physiology. I never had to take that course. I escaped the program in time. But what Solomon is going to give us here this morning is kind of a spiritual human anatomy and physiology lesson. He's not so interested in the different parts of the body except as how they relate to our spiritual walk. Solomon's going to challenge us to take four parts of our body and devote them daily to the service of Christ. He'll start with the ears, then he'll go to the heart, then he'll go to the mouth, and then he'll go to the eyes. So he starts there in verse 20 with his anatomy of discipleship lesson, as one writer puts it. Verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Let's pray. Lord, I really need your help this morning to communicate your word effectively. Most of all, we need your spirit to take your word and to challenge, to encourage, to do whatever needs to be done in each of our hearts, Lord. We commit ourselves to you right now to be the best listeners that we can be. Help us to be spirit-filled listeners, ready for what you want to teach us today. Give us that receptive heart, Lord. Let your grace overshadow us this morning so that we will be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. On the back side of your insert, there's a basic rough outline if you want to follow along there or jot a few extra notes. But Solomon starts with the ears in verses 20 to 22. And he tells us in verses 20 to 22 to pay attention to the teaching of God's Word. Pay attention to the teaching of God's Word. In verse 20, he's challenging his sons. He's as a father writing to his sons saying, as you grow older and as you progress into manhood, these are the types of people you want to avoid. This is the type of person you want to become. And the only thing that's going to happen for you as children is if you listen to the teaching of your parents and the teaching of God's Word. That's what he says in verses 20 to 22. He starts in verse 20 by saying, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying. So he encourages his son. He exhorts his sons to pay attention to his words. Obviously, Solomon here is communicating to his sons, but because God chose it to include it in Scripture, we have the very words of God here. So we would say, not only listen to the wise teaching of your parents, listen to the instruction of God's Word, whoever you receive it from. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a Bible class teacher, a parent, or a friend coming alongside to help you. He says, pay attention to my words. So what kind of listener are you when the Word of God is preached? The men's retreat, I was sitting up towards the front the other day as Tim Laycock from Three Hills was preaching. And I just noticed over to my left, a fellow pastor was sitting across the aisle. I won't say who it was. But I noticed he was having a terrible time staying awake. And I totally understand. I've been there before. Terrible time staying awake, but I didn't really think anything of it. Just he's tired. He's a pastor. He's a person. He lives. Well, we were talking after the service, and he said, we had a snorer in my room last night and I only got 2 hours of sleep. So then the picture became very clear why he was having a hard time staying awake during a sermon. I understand sometimes we're tired, sometimes we're distracted, but as a general rule, where's your heart when the Word of God is preached? Are you distant? Well, if he says something that grabs my attention, I'll listen. If he uses enough stories to keep my attention, then maybe I'll give him a hearing. Are you distracted? Who's going to win the hockey game this afternoon? What's going to happen with this? A little bit dull to the hearing of God's Word, the preaching of God's Word. What kind of listener are you when the Word of God is preached? There should be an anticipation in our hearts that when someone stands behind the pulpit to open to us the Word of God, I may not like the way he speaks, he may not be the best communicator, but if he is teaching the Word of God, then I'm going to give attention because God is speaking to me. What kind of listener are you when the Word of God is preached? He says, pay attention to my words and to my sayings. And then he uses this interesting picture of inclining your ear to the sayings of God's Word. And this word incline has the idea of stretching out for something or turning towards. I haven't asked Lisa for permission to use this illustration, but I'm going to do it, and I'll ask permission later. But with Lisa's acoustic neuroma tumor, most of you probably know that she's completely deaf in this ear now, her right ear. She has no hearing in her right ear whatsoever. So when I'm mumbling around the house and I'm not projecting, I'm being lazy in my talking, sometimes Lisa will have to turn her good ear towards me, I think because she wants to hear what I'm saying. I hope that's why. But she'll incline, she'll stretch out her ear, she'll turn her ear to catch what is being said so she doesn't miss it. That should be our attitude when we hear the Word of God taught, when we're reading the Word of God for ourselves, to stretch our ear out towards it because we want to hear it. There are things we don't understand and we want to understand, so we turn our ear towards. He describes it further in verse 21. He says, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let them out of your sight. He's not suggesting that you need to carry your Bible with you into work. It's the idea that I'm not going to forget what I've read. By God's grace, I want to remember just as much as I can. Sometimes I hear folks and they say, boy, I just don't remember the Word like I used to. And I understand that. That's part of life. But if the attitude is right, God is pleased with that. That I want to remember what God has to say. I don't want to let His Word out of my sight. I don't want my path to deviate from what God desires from me. And to do that, he says in verse 21, and he gives us a preview of where he's going, the core of the passage. He says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Right in the middle of your heart. Your center of affection, what you treasure, he says, keep the Word of God as the center of your treasure. Why? Well, verse 22 gives us the reason. He says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Those who find this instruction from the Word of God get life for themselves. Sometimes extended physical life because they're not living the way of a fool and they're not dying the premature death of a fool. But always spiritual life, spiritual blessing, that they are right before God. And in life, we usually don't find what we're not looking for. Once in a while, we stumble across something we weren't looking for, and it's just an unexpected blessing. But usually in life, you only find things you're looking for. When we were on our way back, as I mentioned in Bible class, when we were on our way back, driving through Wyoming and Montana, we saw more antelope and deer than I have ever seen in my life. And so we started looking for them. And we'd be looking over here, and we'd be looking over here, and one of the kids would say, "Oh, there's some. There's some pronghorns over there, and oh, there." We found them because they were there and we were looking for them. God's word is here. The treasures are here. We need to seek for them. We need to find them. We don't usually find what we're not looking intently for. We have a friend in South Carolina, and this friend will find sometimes $20 to $30 worth of change a month on the ground. You know how much I find every month? I probably lose more than I find. Drop that there. I probably find a nickel, maybe a quarter on a good month. I just don't find it. Why? Because I'm not looking for it. Maybe there's another reason. This friend's probably about 5'3", so she's a little closer to the ground than I am, so maybe she could spot it. But I don't find it because I'm not looking for it. If you're not looking for the treasures of God's Word, you probably won't find them. But if you search, if you pursue, God says, if you seek me, you will find me when you search with all your heart. So treasure the Word of God. Let your ears pay attention to the truths of the Bible. And he describes it here as a healing to all their flesh. He's not saying because Ann treasures the Word of God, he's miraculously going to take the cancer away, though we can ask him to do that and pray because we know he has the ability and the power to do that. But he's talking here emotionally and spiritually that the Word of God has a purifying, a sanctifying, a healing effect on our emotions and on our behavior. So he says, pay attention with your ears. That's the first lesson. He moves down to the heart. And this is really the core of the whole passage. It introduced the idea a couple verses earlier, and then in verse 23 he says, guard your heart, keep your heart, watch over your heart with all diligence, like a soldier, not going to let the enemy sneak in on his watch. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the springs, the issues, the springs of life. Above everything that you guard, if you're going to guard anything, if you're going to put attention to anything in your life, he says, do this one thing above all other guarding. Guard this. You might set the security system on your house. You might keep a baseball bat near your bed to guard your family. Those are good things to do. But he says, above anything else you're going to do in your spiritual life, do this one thing. This is preeminent. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. You cannot afford to be lazy about the condition of your heart. You cannot let your heart go for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month, for a year. You must guard your heart. And if you protect one thing in life, protect your heart. Well, what's the heart? Biblically, we could probably define it in three ways. Your heart consists of your emotions. Your emotions. What are you letting yourself get attached to? Is it good for your heart? Is it good for your soul? Is it good for your spiritual well-being? Maybe I should say, who are you letting yourself get attached to? Who are your friends? Who is influencing the decisions that you make? Who is sharpening you or dulling you, as the case might be? Are you guarding your emotions? Many a Christian has polluted their heart by getting attached to the wrong person or the wrong thing. Guard your emotions. Guard what you treasure. But the heart is not only your emotions, it's also your mind. It's what you think about, what you choose to dwell on, the books you read, the magazines you read, the video games that you play, the YouTube clips that you watch, the movies that you entertain yourself with, the music that you listen to. Friends, the average unbeliever who wants to make money selling entertainment does not have your best interest at heart. Even the seemingly most innocuous musician has a depraved heart. And would we not expect that depravity to come through in many cases? Guard what you allow into your mind. One of my greatest burdens is your pastor. Not in a legalistic sort of way. Not in a ritualistic performance sort of Christianity. That's not what Christianity is. But a wise, mature believer understands that they must guard what they intake into their soul, because what you take into your soul will affect you. So one of my biggest burdens as a pastor, and I don't talk about it a whole lot, as Pastor Bob says, I don't want to have just one string on my banjo. But many, many times a believer who is not careful about guarding their heart gets led astray by their entertainment choices, by the movies that they watch, by the TV shows that they watch, by the YouTube clips that they watch. Guard your heart. You say, well, you know, nobody in the world is concerned about this sort of stuff. Well, maybe nobody at your school is, but God is. Maybe nobody at your workplace gives a lick, but God does. He says, guard your heart. You cannot take profanity and violence and impurity into your heart through entertainment and expect that it's not going to affect your soul. It may be imperceptible to you. You may not realize even what's happening because it happens so gradually or so subtly. But when you take garbage in, it affects your soul. So guard what you allow into your mind. Guard your heart by making wise entertainment choices. Let the Word of God be that filter to catch things that shouldn't go into your heart. When you're sitting down to watch something, hopefully you've done your research ahead of time to know what you're getting into. But maybe the website you read didn't say anything about it, and your antennas go up, and it's, so to speak, the holy radar begins to beep and say, warning, warning, danger. Well, listen to it. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you to guard your heart. We were just down in Colorado with my grandfather and my step-grandmother, and most of my extended family still lives there, and my grandfather was a farmer, so our kids just had a blast riding the four-wheeler around the farm and exploring the farm, and they have a system of ditches and canals. My Uncle Steve still farms the land. They have a system of ditches and canals, otherwise you just can't grow anything. They're even drier down there than we are here. Canals that could be a few feet wide and a few feet deep, and then ditches that might be a foot wide or 2 feet wide by a couple feet deep. And one of my joys as a little boy was to go out, not usually the morning irrigation because I wanted to sleep in, but the evening irrigation time with my grandpa or my uncle, and get on their little dirt bike and ride out there with them and check the rows and help them set the tubes and run the water down the corn rows or the hay field rows. And what fascinated me was they would have to have these filters, maybe a metal grate that they would put in the ditch at particular places, strategic places. Maybe when the canal water that was running down the edge of the field was going to be, part of it was going to be diverted into the ditch that ran down the head of the cornfield. And they'd put these filters in, and it was fascinating to see what they'd pull out of there. You know, you'd get weeds and plants and once in a while, you'd get a treasure like a suckerfish. And as a boy, that was just the coolest thing, to look at this ugly sucker. But it was strategic because he didn't want those things clogging his tubes. He didn't want those things getting in the way of irrigating the fields. And so he would filter them out. Filter out the impurity. Filter out the garbage. Don't even let it down the ditch. If you let it down the ditch, it's going to get in your field. And that's the way we have to be with the Word of God. Let the Word of God be that filter to catch those things that we should not be entertaining ourselves with. We don't want it in our ditch because we don't want it in our field. So guard your mind. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy precepts. Guard what you allow into your mind. Say, I get it, Michael. I understand that. I do try and guard my heart against those sinfully intoxicating influences, but there are some influences I can't prevent. Is that true? Sure it is. Unless you're the boss, you probably don't have much say over the language that your coworkers use. Our boys' indoor soccer yesterday, I'm coaching Blake under 10, and then after that, Carson and under 12 in a recreational league, just the language that you hear, even from these coaches who are supposed to be good influences on your kids. Well, I can't always control what they say. So you say, well, how am I going to keep what they say and what I hear, the things I cannot control and keep out of my life, the things I'm exposed to in a sinful world, how do I counteract those potentially negative influences? How do I guard my heart? Well, we're back to number one. Incline your ear to the Word of God. Sanctify them through your Word. Your Word is truth. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. The sanctifying, purifying, refreshing, healing effect of the Word of God can counteract the negative influences that you're exposed to every day just living in a fallen world. So I want to control what I can control that comes into my soul, and those things that I cannot control, I counteract those effects with the Word of God, the sanctifying and purifying effect of the Word of God. So to guard my heart, I need to guard my emotions, I need to guard what I allow into my mind, and then consequently, I will guard the choices I make. I will guard my will. The decisions that I make, you will find your flesh constantly pulling you away from what God wants you to do. Peter describes it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, abstain from fleshly lusts which are warring against the soul. You feel this battle. You feel this internal struggle. We have a new nature as born-again believers, but we don't have a perfected nature yet. And so you still feel the struggle. The flesh and the spirit, as Galatians 5 describes it. And who you decide to listen to will determine what you become. I remember Tom Farrell, a well-known evangelist, preaching. I remember if it was the wilds of North Carolina or the wilds of Colorado. But I remember one sermon in particular that he preached, and I've never forgotten his outline for that sermon. Now, I'd be elated if any of you could remember one of my outlines from any sermon over these past 10 years. Actually, I'm not really concerned about you remembering my outline, but I am hopeful you'll be grasping the truth of God's Word. But I remember this outline. His first point was, you are at war. Fleshly lusts are waging war against your soul. There is a battle raging for your spiritual well-being every day. You are at war. His second point was, you have weapons. You have the Word of God, and you have the Spirit of God, and you have godly friends to help. You are at war, you have weapons. And his third point, the clincher, was you can win by the grace of God. Peter says, you can abstain with God's help. You can abstain. You can say no to fleshly lusts which are waging war against the soul. Fight this pull to do wrong. Guard your heart. Guard your will. Fight the pull to be greedy and to live for things that have no eternal significance. Fight pride. Don't choose to try and live independently from godly friends in your local church. Don't choose to dishonor your parents. Guard your heart. Guard the choices that you make. Why? Well, he tells us there at verse 20, at the end of verse 23, he gives us the reason. He says, for out of it are the issues, the outgoings, the springs of life. In other words, the heart is like a spring in the mountains. Everything that comes out of it, what comes out of it feeds everything downstream. It's like a spring. Out of it are the springs of life. I think what Solomon is saying is this. Your heart is the source of everything that flows out of your life. Your thoughts, your decisions, your priorities, all that flows from who you are, what you are, your character, your heart. And if the source of that spring is polluted, if the source is polluted, everything downstream is going to get affected by that. So, I mean, we can try all these things to try and purify everything downstream, but if we don't purify the source, then it's never going to work. We're fighting a losing battle. So he says, guard your heart. You remember when the team from Bob Jones University was with us this summer? Some of you may remember this. I won't go into great detail because I shared it before, but when we went on our hike to Cat Creek Falls with the team, we were hiking up there. It was a warm day for Alberta standards, and we were getting thirsty, and John Dalton, the team leader, was getting thirsty, and he seriously thought about taking a drink out of that. The water looks great. It looks pure. He decided not to, and as we went a little further up, hiking back up the canyon, there's a dead elk polluting the waters. So everything downstream could be deadly and dangerous. Guard the source. Guard the heart, because everything that comes out of your life is going to be determined by what's in the heart. And this is why external fixes, merely external fixes, just don't work. Guard your heart. So Solomon moves on to the third. Your mouth, verse 24. He says, put away from you a deceitful. The idea of that word deceitful is perverse, filthy, dirty, crass, profanity. He says, put it away from you and put devious speech, crooked lips, keep them far from you. You say, man, my mouth just gets me in a lot of trouble. And it does. It can. I'll share something with you, and I'm not proud of this, but I want to be real here before you. When we were on vacation, my dad had a friend who has a small cabin up in the mountains, not a fancy cabin. The price of land up there just blew me away in Colorado. I think they paid like $14,000 for 2 acres of mountain land at 9,200 feet. Can you imagine that? What would that buy us here, a blade of grass? And longtime friend, got good friends of my dad and mom, and they said, oh, you come up and use this cabin. We've got four-wheelers, and there's a fishing lake, a private lake for the cabins, and we stock it. And so we were fishing there, and it was the best fishing experience we have ever had. We caught, over those 2 days, and just a few hours of fishing, we caught 10 rainbow trout. The smallest was 16 inches. The largest was 20 inches, old fat-bodied trout. Well, Carson had brought his fishing pole. We had that in our rooftop carry. He wanted to make sure. And then we were borrowing some fishing poles from the couple there that had let us use the cabin. But a couple, you know, they weren't expensive fishing poles at all. And a couple of the poles had old line and would break very easily. Well, these are big fish. And so on a couple occasions we had the fish. We were just fishing from the bank, but we had them right up there, and before we could get the net on them, the line snapped. And so on one of these occasions, I think it was Maddie that was reeling a fish in, and it had taken the bait just really, really close to shore. And so my dad was giving me instructions about, don't get them too close to shore. Let them wear themselves down. Somebody had to run the net around. And so we were trying to do that. And I was trying to let out line on this thing so that it could run a little bit and the line wouldn't snap. And the fishing pole wasn't working right. The spool was not releasing. And so this fish is getting closer and closer to the shore. The net's not there. And all of a sudden, bam, the line breaks and we lose it. And so my dad, just being a dad and teacher, he's like, don't let him get close. And I'm ashamed to admit it. I dishonored my dad. I put my hand up and I said, I was trying, Dad. Just like that. He was kind of across the lake, across the corner lake, and instantaneously the Spirit of God convicted me. You dishonored your dad. You put your hand up and you said, I was trying, Dad, in a frustrated tone of voice. And I'm not proud of that. And so the Spirit of God is working in my heart. And so later that afternoon, I come over to my dad and I say, Dad, I need to ask you to forgive me. And, you know, he plays it down. Oh, no, don't worry about it. But I needed to be reconciled to him because I had dishonored him. Say, our mouths get us in trouble. Why is it? Well, because our mouths reflect what's going on in our heart. I was frustrated with my dad at that point. I was upset because I knew what I was doing, I thought, and he didn't understand that, and I wanted to communicate. Just back off a little bit. And I'm ashamed that I did. Thankfully, he forgived, and he was gracious. What does Solomon say? You guard your heart, then you're going to guard your mouth. The last, he says, your eyes. Verses 25 and 26 and 27. Let your eyes look directly ahead of you. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Don't get distracted from the right path when you're driving down the highway and you're looking at some antelope off to the right. What often happens? Boom, 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 boom. You hear the rumble strips on the side. You're veering off the path because you're not looking straight ahead. That's okay when you're looking at antelope, but it's not okay when your soul is in play. He says, look your eyes straight before you. Watch the path of your feet. So he gets into the feet as well. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Watch what path you let your feet go down in life. Choose the right path. Choose wisely and all your ways will be established. Verse 27, do not turn to the right nor the left. Turn your foot from evil. Don't get distracted. Look where you're going. So there's the anatomy of discipleship. I want to point out one thing and then we'll be done this morning. Solomon's just told them to guard their heart, and I believe that's the core to the whole passage, the fundamental aspect of the whole passage. But you notice he also tells them to guard other things, to be careful about other things. He goes into telling them what to do and what not to do. I want to caution you against two extremes this morning. Some believers say, well, I'm just focused on the heart, and so it doesn't really matter what I do so much. I'm not going to worry so much about what I say, where I go, what I do. I don't have to worry about that because I'm guarding my heart. Well, that's an ungodly extreme. That's not what Solomon is driving at. Others go to the other extreme, and they just focus on what they do. Their heart is not in right shape before God, but I'm doing the right things. I'm going to church, I'm doing this, and I'm not doing this. And so everything's okay. And that's an ungodly extreme. Solomon says to guard your heart above every other guarding. So remember, it starts with the heart. But secondly, the actions, the choices, the priorities, all of that reflects what's going on in your heart. So what you are is reflected in what you do, and what you do affects what you are. Or to say it another way, what you are determines what you do. But what you do determines what you become. So what is it? My heart, my choices, all of the above. Guard your heart. Above everything else in life, friends, guard your heart. Would you bow your heads, please? If you don't know the Lord Jesus, then what comes out of your heart is invariably going to be bad because you need a changed heart. And the Lord offers that changed heart through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you need to be saved, today's the day. Come to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith. He died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again. Believe in Him, and He'll give you a new heart. Probably most of you here this morning are believers, gathered to worship the Lord. What's the condition of your heart like right now? Are you abstaining from fleshly lusts which war against the soul? Are you guarding your emotions, what you treasure? Are you guarding the choices that you make? Guard your heart, for out of it are the springs of life. Here, Foundation, the way we respond to the Lord at the conclusion of our services is by exhorting everyone to pray in your seat, in your heart, quietly, talking to the Lord. God wants a response from all of us. So let's give Him a response that honors Him, whether it's confession, whether it's thanksgiving and worship. So prayer, request for grace. However, God wants you to respond today. You respond to the simple teaching about guarding your heart. Lord Jesus, these prayers that have just been offered up to You, You've heard them. Now we need Your help. We need grace. We need mercy. We need forgiveness. We need joy. We need peace. All of these things that we find in our Lord Jesus. Do you pray for our dearly loved Bob and Ann for special grace, great grace to just flow to them during these days. Give insight to the oncologist tomorrow at the Tom Baker Cancer Center. Pray that Your will be done, Lord. That's our comfort. That's our hope. We are praying for a healing. Lord, we're not trying to tell You what to do. We're just asking, but we'll trust that whatever You do will be good. Make us a blessing to this couple, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.